This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Lord, help us to see you as you are, not as we would have you be, and in seeing you, to love you, and in loving you, to follow you, and in following you, thereby to believe in you, Son of God, light of the world, our way, our truth, and our life. Amen. Good morning. I happen to love airplane stories, and every so often one is listed in the sermon illustrations for a particular week. The story is a man and a woman are on a transatlantic trip, and the pilot comes over the intercom and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but one of our four engines has gone out. No problem, we're just going to be an hour late arriving. About a half hour later, he comes back on. Says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, our second engine has gone out. No problem, we're just going to be 2 hours late in arriving. More time passes. He comes back on and says, I am very sorry, but the third of our four engines has gone out. We're going to be 4 hours late in arriving. The woman turns to her husband and says, if that fourth engine goes out, we're going to be stuck up here all night. The illustration is given in terms of the fear and anxiety that would go along with such a situation. And to truly understand the fear and anxiety that's going on in the reading today of our gospel, we need to understand the background of what's going on here. We're hearing from John 14. What transpired in John 13 is what leads to this. In John 13, Jesus has done something unheard of, and he's gone and he's washed the disciples' feet. The master washing the feet of the students and telling them, now you have to go and wash each other's feet. They're scratching their heads. What's he talking about? He goes on, and he not only predicts that Judas, one of his 12, is going to betray him, but he sends Judas out to go and start his deed of treachery. He also says, Peter, my best friend, you are going to deny even knowing who I am. He goes on, and then he says, and by the way, I am going to have to die. And then, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Thomas and Philip? The questions that they asked made absolute sense in the gospel today. Jesus, don't let our hearts be troubled. You just told us that this whole thing that you had planned, that we thought it was going in this direction, you have just killed all four engines on the plane, and you're doing something that we did not think was the plan. And so it would make total sense in their fear and anxiety that Thomas would say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He might as well say, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. And Philip, show us the Father. Come on. We don't know what you're doing here, Jesus. How often in our lives do we get to that point where something smacks us in the face and all four engines go out and suddenly what we thought what was the plan is not God's plan? And so in the midst of all that, Jesus gives us those incredible words that if they are not the most famous words, at least in the top 10 of his most famous phrases. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And that is the way, if we truly understand that, is the way that we can cope with the fear and anxiety that might sometimes be there. When we were in the seminary, we had to take a speech course. And to pass the speech course, you had to be able to do two things. You had to be able to read the line from the Nativity story that said, Joseph and Mary and the baby lying in the manger. You had to say it in such a way that it didn't sound like all three of them were in the crib. If you could do that, you got the second test. And the second test was, you had to be able to say that line from the gospel today in such a way that everybody in the class understood that there were three things that Jesus was saying he was. The way, the truth, and the life. Obviously, I passed the test somewhere along the line. The way, the truth, and the life. I'd like to look at those three things today in a way that perhaps we might not have looked at them before. And it links back up to what we heard last Sunday when Jesus talked about himself as the gate. And he mentioned in that gospel three things that the gate does. It protects us, It enables us to find pasture, and it gives us abundant life. Looking at those three things, I'd like to use the image that we are given in the reading from 1 Peter today of being spiritual infants. When there is a young child, it is not uncommon for a two-year-old whose job it is to explore, to start getting into things that they're not supposed to get into. And what ends up happening is the loving parent has to physically go and to pull that child back, to protect that child. If I was to ask you to fill in the blank, I want you to blank me the way. Most of you would probably fill in the word show. What a parent does is show the child the way, to protect that child. In our spiritual infancy, there are times when we need that protection. When we are just beginning our journey of faith, where things like the Ten Commandments and the right and the wrongs of our life are very important to us, because as spiritual infants, that's what we need to protect us. But we don't stop there. We move ahead, and just as a child grows, it gets to a point where hopefully the parent no longer has to physically show the way and pull the child, but can just speak to the child. If I was asked you to fill in the blank, I want you to always blank me the truth. To tell the truth is the way we'd probably fill it in. In our spiritual lives, we hear, as we grow out of spiritual infancy, the voice of Jesus, the voice of our spiritual parent, continuing to guide us along the way that we might have full pasture, that we might be able to achieve that which God has in mind for us. We go through those two phases, and then we get to a point where we can truly do the third. We can live the life, the abundant life that God calls us to live. Now, in each part of our spiritual journey, there are different things. And it's not uncommon that somewhere along the line, we mess up and we have to go back to that protection phase, and God has to pull us back. But there are those three ways that are there with Jesus to show us, to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, to tell us the truth so that we might have that abundant life. And when we get to that phase, the abundant life, it becomes like that entrance to Disney World. And you go through that gate, and it's not because you want to be protected, but the whole world is open to you at that point. And that is the purpose of His protection. That is the purpose of His word, so that we can get to that point where we can be like Augustine was when he says, when he reaches that point in his spiritual journey, love and do what you will. Because when we get to that point, all we want to do is to live in Christ. We heard somebody mention in that first reading today by the name of Saul. Stephen is being stoned. And the man we're hearing about is he who would become the greatest apostle ever, Paul. Paul was killing Christians. What God is going to end up doing is to show Paul the way and literally pull him down, really knock him down. And he converts. And then he moves on, God telling him the truth, and he starts to understand the voice of God. And what does he end up doing? He ends up doing more for the kingdom than we could ever imagined. So much so that he is able to tell us, for freedom Christ has set us free. Just like saying, love and do what you will. Because he comes to that point in his life as well where he is open to the abundant life that God offers him. We were blessed this past week with 28 missionaries who went forth, commissioned by this congregation, to share the love of Jesus with each other and with the people of the Dominican Republic. It was an incredible experience. I was asked to preach last Sunday at Father Sandino, our host at his church, and we talked about the wall that the group built. Not only was that wall a protection, but the wall became a way in which the children could experience abundant life. We've done vacation church camp activities every year that we've gone down there. And to say the best about it, it was organized chaos. Kids coming and going from all doors, all sides, all buildings. But with the wall there, it was very easy to control how the kids were to enter, how were they moved from one station to the other. And it went so well that when it was finished, everybody who'd been there before said, "We didn't have many kids this year, did we?" We had 70 to 75 kids who went through the vacation church camp because we were able to protect them, because we were able, through that physical wall, to open them to the abundant life that was there. An incredible gift God gave to us. It was not easy for a lot of people to make the commitment to go on this particular trip. But in some way, everyone heard the voice of God calling them, and as such, they experienced incredible, abundant life. We were able, with one of the teams, to paint the entire upper floor of the medical clinic in San Pedro de Macorís, the biggest medical clinic that exists on the Dominican Republic. They serve over 20,000 people per year. The last hurricane had made the upper floor unusable. They got money donated to rebuild the roof. It was our job to repaint the entire upper floor, which in effect will double the space that they can use for examining their patients and giving people help and consultation. An incredible gift that we were able to give, as well as the people in Halonga who work so hard. The second reading today talked about the stones. I think that was God's sense of humor to that team, because all week long they were lifting stones, 90-pound packages of cement, and helping to fashion this wall. And yes, the teenage girls were as good as the adult males at doing it. To be able to experience that abundant life that we had was a gift that this church gave to all of us who were able to go. Jesus truly is our way. He is our truth. May he continue to give us that abundant life as we answer his call to serve.